Greetings and salutations. Welcome back for another edition of Sky Blue Stories, the number one Sydney FC podcast in the universe. And that's no lie. Today, I'll try and be as time neutral as possible. Michelle, Superfan Morris, how you doing? Welcome back for another week.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Nicholas Rojas, the man, the myth, the legend, how you doing?
Not too bad, my friend.
Yeah, still very prolific on Twitter or X. Man, I'd love to see the analytics on your tweets and posts and whatnot. It would be through the fucking roof. Another week in Sky Blue Stories land. Plenty to talk about. A couple of big games coming up this weekend. The girls, things are starting to kind of click a little. The cogs are in motion. To quote Ante, we're hitting our straps. I think he's about right there. The men, I don't know what to say about them at the moment. I'm very torn about how I feel about their performances at the moment, but we'll dive into that. Guys, how's their last week been? What are your first kind of quick impressions of the games over the weekend, Michelle and Nick?
I think that sounds about right, actually.
You'd be, you know, before we deep dive into the women's game, Michelle, you'd be reasonably happy with a draw away to Perth, top of the table Perth.
Yes, but when we get into it, I guess I'll explain more. But we definitely should have won that game. Like, it was very frustrating.
And Nick, you know, we the men traveled all the way to Melbourne. I didn't like a big blue so soon. It just felt a bit weird. It just felt like the other day that we had our, you know, first game of the season, a big blue. Another game we've gone scoreless.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I forgot that we had it in round one. Like, it felt like, personally, I'm like, oh wow, we're playing them. Like, I can't remember the last time where we got a win against them, but let alone score a goal. So, yeah, just... we'll get into it, but another lackluster performance from us.
Yeah, you know, we had a couple of couple of recruits come back. This player, Jack Rodwell, he might have been new. Was there like a December
transfer?
Yeah, was there a December transfer window that we were able to sneak him in, like a wildcard repechage kind of player? I don't know, but he looks all right at centre back, although, well, time will tell what happened here, but we'll dive into a bit of around the grounds and have a little bit of a chat. Some really important stuff coming up with our women's, an absolute bonanza when it comes to our fixtures with the women. Leichhardt, and a little bit of Allianz tossed in there for good measure. So if you're keen on a fix of football, winning football, get in on our women. They're playing this Friday night against the Raw, a lovely way to usher in the Christmas season. A few days later after Christmas, once you've, slept off your food coma and unwrapped all the presents from mummy and daddy, they'll be playing Wellington, a doubleheader, Michelle's favourite. Michelle loves a doubleheader for the women's game. She's all over it. They're playing Wellington at a nice time at 5 o'clock at Allianz, and then they're back to, somewhat of a bit of a spiritual home for them against Canberra, which will be a really interesting test against Canberra. They're doing good things in Canberra, and they've got beautiful kits too. I've loved their kits in recent seasons. A little side note, Michelle, you'll go to all three. I'm assuming you'll of course endeavour too. Which of those fixes are you most looking forward to, and why is it the doubleheader?
I think I'm actually looking forward to the Wednesday game. You've got it written here. It's the second. It's actually the 3rd of January.
Oh, you can't count good. Oh, you're right, because Tuesday is... Mm. So Monday is the 1st, isn't it? It's New Year's Day.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat technically back at work, but I'll be working from home and just moving my mouse around to stay...
That's what I do. That's what I did today. Teams. Yeah.
Hopefully not.
It's actually the following week that I'm excited for, that weekend of games, which is the Brisbane away and the Mariners away fixture. It's going to be the best weekend for me.
Yeah. And you're not working for any of it, I hope. And
no. Well, it's my birthday, so no.
Oh, fucking hell. What's that, 21? How old are you now?
29.
29. Well, you don't look a day over. gosh, I've got almost 30. Fuck. Welcome to the Big 3-0 Club, almost. And Nick's still the baby.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah. I love a Central Coast away game. Always my favourite fixture when it comes to the aways, definitely. Another bit of news. We've got to tip our hat to the legend that is Ryan Grant. 15 years for our great club. Interesting time that this has come. Yes, on a side note, a bit of a dip in form and whatnot. But if bronze, gold, platinum, whatever statues are built tomorrow outside Allianz or Sky Park or whatever it might be, you'd see a Bross, you'd see a Corica, you'd definitely see a Grant. I think those three would certainly be, a Grant particularly would be up the top there of the voting for potential statues. He's been a great servant of the club, one of the most decent, genuine, down-to-earth guys in football. And I mean this in the nicest way. Doesn't look like a footballer, doesn't he? Does he? Kind of looks like just a lad in the eastern suburbs going for a surf or something like that. But one of the most decent guys in football and a great player of our club. Any quick thoughts about your kind of favourite times of Ryan Grant over the past 15 years, you two?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many to think of, but I think the ones that definitely stick out are the goal in the 2017 grand final that we just Allianz absolutely erupting with his equaliser, and then the nipple of God in the grand final in 2020. Just an absolute maybe not in a full house, but it was definitely a memorable moment for all of us. And
The areola of God.
Oh my God.
But yeah, there's been so many periods of the club he's been a part of, a lot of success, a lot of ups and downs. He's a one club man and only one of the rarest ones around.
Yeah, that's rare.
Amazing. So I'll be pretty happy to him.
Who else is, I say, other than say like a Lee Broxham, who else has been a one man club for that kind of length of time? For 10, 12, 15 years. I can't.
I'm sure. 15 years is a long time.
Yeah. And like Jono put out a stat, spoiler alert, Jonathan does all our socials on Twitter. I'm not allowed to touch it. In that, technically, Grant's been the only one to play with every single keeper of ours, except for Matt Nash, we'll ignore that fact. But he's seen it all. He has seen it all. Like, the stories that he could tell about, I think, whether it be an autobiography or biography or something like that, the stories that he could tell about the rise and times of Sydney FC would be really fascinating. Whether it's him part of winning teams in Perth or at the shithole of Combank and the like, to throwing on the gloves and jumping in goals to, scoring goals himself, that wonderful dynamic duo of him and Zulu left and right back over those really successful years. He's got shit hair, but we don't care. He's an absolute legend and cult figure of our club.
I also think one of my favourite memories was 2019 grand final in Perth. He had that whole stadium booing him every time he touched the ball. And it was so funny. And it was just great. And then obviously he stepped up as one of the boys to take the penalty in that penalty shootout. And he scored. And I remember chatting with him years later. And he was saying how he loved that they were all booing him. He loved that they hated him. And he said that he loved that, he knew that he had to score. There was no way. If he misses that penalty in that shootout where everyone hates him in that moment, it'll be bad. So he had to score, and obviously he did. And, yeah, it was, I remember that grand final very fondly. And I just remember him being just so hated by everyone. It was hilarious.
I hope, you know, I don't want to go down talking about form and recent performances and whatnot, but when Ryan decides, and he's a new dad as well, of course, in recent times and recent weeks, when he does decide to hang up the boots, he's the kind of bloke you first saying, please hang around the club, just like Wilco's done in some kind of, you know, hanging around in some kind of coaching, managerial, assistant coach, maybe with the youth teams or something like that for the younger fellas to look up to and you know, as a model of what to work towards. You'd be silly to let go of Ryan Grant's services when he hangs up the boots. So well done, Ryan, for 15 great years. Let's hope, you know, you get back to that great form that we've seen you in years gone by. You know, even the greats have a bit of a slump here and there, you know, even myself speaking as well, you know, for the great infield when I played for them. But well done, Ryan, and another, you know, we appreciate your time here in Sky Blue. Speaking of the women's game, as we mentioned earlier, Michelle, they travelled to Perth, who have gone quite a bit of the phoenix from the ashes in recent seasons. They were a bit of a dumpster fire a couple of seasons ago when Alex Epakis, did I say that last name right?
Epakis?
Epakis, yeah. Yeah? Nah?
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, that's close enough. Who was a very insanely successful coach at Sydney Uni with the first grade women's team and got his chance there with Perth Glory, and they were pretty shit and rubbish, but over time they're now sitting on top of the table, albeit on goal difference. Nil all on the road. On the surface, I would say a point on the road against Perth, top of the table, as we're starting to get troops back, is a pretty decent result. But Michelle, what are your further impressions of the game?
I mean, yeah, like when you put it like that, it's obviously a good thing, you know, they're top of the table, and Perth is very far away. But I think I think that we had a better game than they did. We had way more shots and way more shots on target as well. Like I think they had one shot on target to their six shots that they took. So we really should have had a much better game, but Morgan Aquino, who's the Perth Glory goalkeeper, had a really good game and kind of just, yeah, denied us the game, more than anyone else on the field did. So, yeah, very frustrating. I think Princess Sabini, it was just so frustrating because there was one moment where she was right there, no one around her, completely empty, one-on-one. All she had to do was just hit the target, and she got it two underneath, and it went all the way into the park somewhere else. Not even, there was no stands there anymore. They got rid of them after the men left. So into another cricket field probably. But yeah, very frustrating game. I think we should have won this. But yeah, I mean, I'll take a point.
Yeah, stats-wise, we absolutely dominated them. So I can understand the frustration and a little bit of frustration from Ante that we weren't more clinical in the final third. But, you know, if I can, you know, take it as a glass half full, the fact that with a very young side and a very new side and still some combinations and, you know, personnel to get back into the swing of things and get that cohesion, that we're not far off. If they're top of the table and we dominated them and probably could have, should have walked away with 3 points, it's reassuring that, you know, at this point in the season and what we're about a quarter, third of the way through, you know, so it's reassuring that the girls are on the right track. And you look at our middle three, like, what are, like, they're 12, 13 and 14, like, you know, like it's insane.
Basically
with Zara, Maddie, I want you to talk about Maddie Caspers and just, you know, wax lyrical about her, but with her, Zara and Shay, you know, that's insane just how young they are.
Yeah, Maddie Caspers, 16 years old, debuted against Newcastle Jets. And had a great game against the Jets. And then played a full 90 in that game as well, and then to start in this game as well. So I don't know. It's insane. She's very young. And when I first saw her name on the starting list for the like for the Newcastle Jets game, I was like, oh no, like she's 16. Like, is this gonna
into the fire? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, is this gonna be okay? Like, she's gonna go up against like Emily Van Egmond. But she did not look out of place. I think she played really well in that game. So for her to come into this game against Perth, again, same sort of situation. She just, I don't know, she held her own really well. Played incredibly, and it was just, it's great to see. And it's great to see that Ante just has like all these school kids that he just, you know, brings into the side and can turn them into absolute superstars in this league. So I think it's one, obviously he sees the talent of these players, but two, like how he can just coach them to being a team and playing in a team and not just like as an individual player. So no, Maddie Caspers was insane. Great player.
Well, yeah, hats off to Ante. You know, the fact that, you know, I'm sure at 16, making your A-League debut for a club as big as Sydney would be very overwhelming. So no doubt, Nick, like he must be so good at just, whether they're 16 or 36, you know, just gives very simple, specific instructions of, you know, do this in possession, do this out of possession. So, and it must be so good as a player to be able to get that kind of level of coaching and support.
Yeah, definitely. It just shows like, his track record of how well he's done, not just at the club, but just as a coach in general, and how far he can go as a football manager. And it just, yeah, it's just unreal of the amount of faith he has in all these young talent, all talented players, and just easing them into the first team. And just, they seem like fitting in so perfectly with the experienced players, and then obviously bringing in some extra, more talent in elsewhere. But he's just, yeah, there's a reason why he's a highly regarded coach for the women's game.
Absolutely. Michelle, do we see the likes of is for Taylor Ray sitting on the bench, you know, and getting her minutes coming off it, do you see that as her future role in the team, just rotating on, or should she in time be starting? Or
I think it's hard to say. Like, you could easily, you know, rotate between Taylor Ray and Shay Holman. I think they're pretty interchangeable, but it depends on, I guess, really what Ante sees in training more than anything. Ante seems to be the kind of coach where, you know, it depends on it's very performance based. So if you're playing really well, like, and if you, you know, even with the amount of minutes, like limited minutes, like if you play really well, like there's a chance that you'll get the start. And we've seen that, like, Shay Connors, she's not starting, despite starting in like the first two games, but very much, you know, not able to score. And Ante said, okay, well, Aidan Keane, you go in instead, and we'll see how that goes. And Fiona Wirtz is obviously starting. So, yeah, I guess I do wonder if Ante sticks with Fiona Wirtz in that starting position, because she's not been scoring recently, but it's not like Shay has either. So, when it comes to Taylor Ray, like,
can't finish, like she's done everything but score.
Literally, like, I don't know. It's so frustrating. I just would love a goal.
Yeah, she should have like half a dozen by now.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the front three then, Courtney? If this weekend, if not the following game or two, you'll probably see her start. Like, he's building her up, you know, that loading.
Yeah.
Hammies are a very difficult thing. You see Princess Courtney and...
I'd say Fiona Wirtz would still be starting.
Okay, yeah.
Just because I think she's obviously knows how to hit the back of the net. So yeah. There's that.
And what about the whole centre-back situation? You've got Margot now. With Seaman gone back, you know, her little short-term contract thing is finished now. And Jordan Thompson from Israel, you know, the American she is.
I think...
Not see Jordan starting, you know, is that...
I don't know. She only played that one game as a left back.
Yeah. over at the Cauldron, over at
the Fortress.
Fortress so far.
Yeah. I don't know. She, I've not seen her play. So I'm not, like, other than that one game. So I don't really have much to go off. But she seems very young. She's also very small. And Margot's been really good the last couple of games. Like, she's been really solid. And seems to work well with Charlotte. So yeah, I don't know. I think you probably keep Margot in that back line.
All right, so yes, we didn't score, but we didn't concede either. So another bit of a glass half full. You know, one of the biggest changes we've had from last season is, well, you know, from the start of this season was losing Nat. So to be able to go away to Perth, yes, we didn't win, but we didn't concede either. So I guess if you're going to have a draw, you know, a nil or draw is not a bad one to have. I'd rather have a nil or than a 3-0 or 4-0 or something like that, and conceding too much. But as Ante said in his post-match, you know, we're starting to hit our straps. We've got a, you know, big kind of somewhat of a congested program coming up, probably because we're catching up a few from the, you know, when we're overseas in Tajikistan or one of the stands. But look, we've got Lucy Johnson to come back probably within the next month or so. We've got, you know, Courtney coming back off the bench. She'll find herself starting very soon. So, you know, I think the girls are in a really good place to start to kind of, you know, the other teams at the top, like who's at the top with Perth? Who's Perth on
City. Equal?
Who?
Melbourne City.
With City. So those teams should be looking over their shoulders going, what's the Sydney FC side doing? You know, like, you know, they should be starting to kind of like have those hairs on the back of their necks to stand up a bit, because I think, you know, the girls, and I think we've got two games in hand. I think we're about two games behind most teams. So not a bad position for the girls to be in. All right. After some fairly positive news on the other side of the country, we'll turn our attention, Nick, to the second of this season's Big Blue, down in Melbourne at Amy Park. It was a bit of criticism that, you know, where are the Sydney FC fans? You know, they don't travel, but a huge contingent of them are going to be there for that traditional, you know, Australia Day game in late January. So, you know, we're not made of money. You know, it's not cheap getting our lattes and caramel mochas and whatnot in Sydney.
Cost of living crisis, come on.
Absolutely.
Christmas shopping, man. Better things to spend on.
A disappointing 3-0 loss, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely disappointing. Just like I said before, very lackluster. We had a few different lineup. We got Rowell back coming in. Jake went into the midfield, I think, for his second time this season, because he's always been playing at the back. But yeah, I think there's just a lot of just errors, and just, I think, just the same things happened all the season. So a few errors and lack of concentration, and just not that fight that we want to see from this team and see from our players, especially in a Big Blue. So with the goals they conceded, just very disappointing. Pavlicic had a good game, but I think he could have done better. Maybe not coming off too far off his line in the second goal. But yeah, I think
fucking Mark Bruno. Like, is it that fucking, like, he's just,
yeah, the one player that's
turning to gold.
Yeah, the one player that's on everyone's lips in the A-League at the moment. He's the one player you've got to be marking.
What is he, 12 goals now, I think? He's like five clear from whoever is, you know, between him and daylight.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and it's not like he's scoring tap-ins either, you know, like, he's wound back the clock, the bastard. And then you got like Azani, like, I hate to say it, Victory are doing all right. Pop are doing some decent things down there, but focus is on us and our midfield. Jake, he didn't have a good game. I don't know if it was transitioning back into the midfield away from what maybe he was more used to, you know, playing centre back this season. Just wasn't Bratz. I hate to say it because I love him so much and I've always been a big fan ever since coming back from his ACL. He's just been a yard or two off. Grant, again, you know, defensively, especially for that first one, That was just awful. But we'll go through the goals. And then just a bit of anonymity up front. Fabio, particularly Mac, just was anonymous for the game. Just really poor, really, really mediocre. And I want to be critical and slam them, but, you know, or, you know, I don't agree with anyone going Talay out or Ufi out. Like, please, you know, cool your jets. It'd be really hard for Ufi. He's come into a side, you know, a handful of games into the season with a squad that's not his and a style of play that I'm sure he's trying to push but doesn't probably quite have the personnel for. So it was probably wrong of the club to have Steve start the season rather than giving a coach the off season, or at least some of it, to be able to get the team right. So I think we just have to bite our tongue a bit, hope for the best, support the boys, and it might be a bit of a very, very, very slow burn this season. I'm not prepared yet to write the season off. I'm not going to call it a rebuilding season, you know, for next year. Just, you know, we'll just look forward to 24-25. There's still a lot to play for. I think in this comp, you know, you go on a run of 3 or 4 games, you're right back in the top 6, and then anything can happen. So the first goal, Daniel Arzani. What are your thoughts on that first goal? Nice finish. I'll take my hat off to Arzani there. That was a very nice goal, but I'm not sure what Grant was doing with that defending.
Yeah, same thing with also Braddon, because Fornaroli gave a beautiful pass to Arzani for that goal, but also just
was that like just, from the switch
yeah,
of play?
The switch of play, yeah. So from when Braddon started that, he fouled him and then just like stupidly. But yeah, then once the ball got to Arzani, just Grant did nothing to this. I get he's getting old. I get that he's not the fast wing, fast fullback that we know him to be, but he's just got to be doing better with his experience, like just locking him down and at least blocking any form of attack coming from that wing.
Yeah.
It's just very disappointing. And like we praise Grant, but he is getting to a point where perhaps maybe if a younger Legs was in his position, it could have been a better scenario. Yeah, but you just never know.
I almost found like Grant kind of lost his bearings as to like where he was on the field in terms of where he was, where Zani was, and where the goal was. But he was moving backwards, allowing Azani to take the space.
He was running away from him
instead of close him off and, you know, maybe turning his body and showing Azani the sideline and saying, all right, if you're going to come forward, you know, I'm going to force you down towards the corner, towards the byline, rather than allowing him to come in towards the edge of the 18-yard box and towards the center. So, but then, you know, we didn't have to wait long. We almost, you know, a few blinks in between one goal and the next, and Azani in the mix of it again with Jake Brimmer lying the ball across to Zinedine Zidane, almost. And then a nice little chip, nice little finish. Pav did his best, but it was a nice little finish over him. And that was 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah, not much else to say. It's not defending him, just like marking him well. Pavlicic, I do believe he was too far off his line. I'm not the goalkeeping expert, but I think like he could have blocked the shot if he was a little bit step back. But I mean, credit to Machach. He was very smart to pull him out on that one. But not much else to say on that.
And then after that, Michelle, I feel like we started to try and arm wrestle our way back into it, started to push ahead. Fabio had a chance where he was deemed offside. I don't think he was. I think it was a bee's dick, but he was on. And it was a poor call from the VAR, you know. And in our defence of the team, it would have been 2-1, you know, leading into halftime. You know, it's a very different picture then for the start of the second half. So, you know, we were hard done by then, but, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot with the two previous goals that we conceded.
I mean, we shouldn't have to rely on VAR to kind of save us. as well. Like, I think that's the other problem is, like, if we're relying on VAR to save us and to try and give us that goal, then clearly, you know, something's gone wrong. Like, you know, Melbourne Victory, the opening goal, there was no way that was ever going to get pulled back. It was just a really good finish and, like, just executed really well. Whereas, like, we had the chance and, like, it, you know, if VAR could have gone either way, they could have said it was onside, they could have said it was offside. But we shouldn't have to be playing in those positions and relying on that. Like, we should be, you know, playing better. And it's just, I don't know, it's so easy to say we should be playing better and scoring goals. But, yeah, I mean, that's the reality.
That was more or less one of our only chances of pulling a goal back. So yeah, we you know, defensively we have some significant frailties at the moment, but we're not creating enough going forward. It's all well enough to have that possession and field position, but we're not being creative enough. So the likes of Caceres, Bratton as well, you know, any of that midfield three, and I think we need to see a bit more output from the likes of for Lolly, but particularly Robbie Mack. Yeah, I've been very critical of him of late, but almost on the hour mark, Bonaroli got his brace. He's got his 12th goal of the season, and he put them 3-0 up, and that was really the nail in the coffin. And there was there was still half an hour to play. There was still something to do from there, but it wasn't until about almost the 90th minute where JK had a decent shot, decent chance, but you know, but I think it was went past the left post or hit the left post, but just on the replays and stuff that I saw, I was too busy enjoying myself in Tasmania. But 3-0, another game. We've only scored in two games this season. And another game where, yes, okay, we lost, but we're not even in the arm wrestle. Like, you know, it's really frustrating. We just are so impotent in front of goal. I don't know. I don't know if it's waiting for the system to kind of click into place. Maybe a bit of a false dawn of our wonderful win in Adelaide 5-1. But, yeah. But did we look better with Rodwell back in the side despite a 3-0 loss?
I think we maybe, because Rodwell had, I think Rodwell, when he's fit and he didn't show signs of, like, lacking the, at least the, when he's played, he's usually been at least solid or decent for Sydney when he's fit. So I think in that game, like, there was definitely a bit more of, between him and Gabriel, just a bit more understanding of each other's game. And it's got to click in a little bit more, I think, obviously for him coming back from injury. So I think maybe giving him a bit more time. And I think he's only, I don't think he's actually played a game with Gabriel, if I'm mistaken. Might have had
something in the game FC Cup.
Game in the Cup. So it will take some time. But, yeah, I think – and he also did have a few – well, he's doing his job role as a centre-back, but he did have some chances and got in for a few crosses and for a few corners to try and make some threat to Victory's goal. But, yeah, I think time will tell well, how long he can stay fit for and how he clicks well with Gabriel and at the back.
Well, do you reckon our fortunes, you know, and a bit more being effective in possession will start to happen when the likes of Maxi Burgess, he was on the outs for last week's game, didn't make the match day squad. So chances are maybe making the bench this weekend. We're looking forward to seeing Max. Do you think that might be a little bit of the missing piece of the puzzle?
I think it'll help for sure. I think, but this is the thing, right? When nothing's going right, like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, we're already losing. We're already not scoring a goal. Like, you know, putting Max on and, you know, letting him play, you know, if he's fit to play, then, you know, hopefully it that there is a change and it's something new and exciting and provides creativity in the midfield and provides goals, more importantly. But it depends if he's fit. We're really struggling with all these injuries. And I guess that's one of the biggest problems that we all know with Rodwell is, like, when he's fit, he's, you know, he's great and he's really helpful. But unfortunately, we can't rely on him to be fit, you know? So I don't know. I wonder if there'll be much changes in January.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see once that January window comes along. But if he does, I reckon he'll make some moves. I reckon he'll definitely make some moves. But, you know, time will tell. Oh, well, onwards and upwards. But we'll look ahead to this weekend's game. So we'll start off previewing the women's game on Friday, seeing as Friday does come before Saturday. 7 o'clock Friday, the 22nd, over at a bit of a spiritual home for the girls, Leichhardt Oval. Great place to watch some football. It's actually more rectangular than the name suggests. Michelle, Ante's handed you the clipboard. Pick the starting 11, please.
Let me see. What did we have last week? I'm going to say unchanged. Unchanged. I reckon, yeah, unchanged lineup. You stay the same.
You're not chucking Courtney on instead of Keane?
No, not yet. I don't think just yet. I think I'd rather that she goes into the new, like, you know, into the new year, ready to play. Because by that point it'll be about halfway through, and that's when it's crunch time. And would rather that she's able to last the full 90 towards the end of the season.
The marathon sprint. Yeah.
Well, we've seen her get injured towards the end of the season a lot the last few years, and so I'd rather, you know, that she stays fit. While we go into the new year. So I reckon just keep it unchanged. It worked really well. All we're missing is that goal.
Yeah. Any changes on the bench? Maybe seeing an Abby Lemon instead, or you figure, you know, those 16 girls got the job done, albeit, well, they took a point away from Perth. So.
Yeah. I don't know who, like, if you would replace anyone though. So
maybe
I think it's fine, honestly. I think it's such a strong bench. Imagine seeing Shea Connors and Courtney Vine Taylor A, and they're ready to come on. Like, it's pretty decent. So
the girls don't miss, they don't skip a beat much when those girls come on. It's quite a luxury to have for Ante and the girls. So you two, how do you know, with Brisbane Roar? Remind me, Michelle, how's Brisbane Roar doing this season?
I'd say about bang average. Get pumped one week and then come back and get a draw the next. So,
how did they do last week then?
They drew 1-1, I believe, to Western Sydney.
So how do you reckon that we'll go this week?
I do feel pretty confident, to be honest. I think we're finally starting to gel and getting things into place, which is really positive. But again, and I keep banging on about this, we get into such good positions and we just cannot score. And that's the killer. And I could just feel in that game against Perth, like, either we're going to concede or it's just going to end up like stay the same. And we needed to score. We just couldn't do it. So I'm really hoping they've been practicing their shooting and, getting some goals in training at least. But I do feel pretty good.
Yeah, we're missing that clinical number nine, like your Remy, like particularly your Maddie last season.
Yeah.
But Fiona Wirtz can do the job.
She can. She was doing it earlier this season.
Yeah, and she was great over in Uzbekistan.
Yeah, so just need to and she was great against Adelaide as well, almost had a hat-trick. So just need to get that Fiona back.
So how do you reckon, you two? Give a bit of a score prediction, please, for this Friday night's game.
I'm going to say 2-0 Sydney.
I was going to say 2-0 as well. I'll be different, say 3-0.
I'm gonna say 3-0. I reckon the girls will get up 3-0.
3-0.
Absolutely.
They'll have the shooting boots on.
Yeah, it'll be an early Christmas present for all of us.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Moving ahead, or 24 hours later, the men have got, we've got Western United at Allianz, 7:30, 7 o'clock kickoff. I think it might be a little bit of an earlier kickoff. Nick, same question. You've been handed the clipboard. Everyone's fit. Who are you picking?
I would pick...
question, how many games away does Redders have? Does he just have the one or does he get two?
I think he just got one. One.
Okay, so Redders, I'm assuming, Nick, you're going to put him in?
Yeah, I would. I do like Pav. I would like him to play a bit more, but I think Redders will get the nod. Same back four, except I would play the Jesus at right back.
Is there DJ?
DJ. Actually, sorry, the formation I'll be going with, I think he should play two up front. Well, a 4-4-2-2-2, as it's...
You're doing the 2-2-2.
Mm.
What?
It's Steve Corica special.
I'm sorry, Sean.
Is that you?
But also, it is Tale special. He has done pretty well with that formation at Wellington. But, I think a two-man midfield with Braddon and Caceres, with... If Burgess was fit and ready to go, I'd have him ahead of Mac. But for now, Mac and Molly will be on the wing. And I would actually like to see a combination of Wood and Kuchowski up front.
No Fabio.
Ooh. No Fabio.
Well, you know, those two would know each other's game. JK and Wood inside and out, you know.
Played a lot. And the role that I think he would want Fabio to play, I think Wood would be able to match that. And Kuchowski could be able to run around and do his own thing and hopefully create out of the two forwards.
Be an absolute fucking pest. Yeah. Well, look, I'm not anti that. I certainly do believe Grant, God love him, needs to be on the bench. I think Zach De Jesus should get a start. I think drop Mac and put JK there or Matatitas or something like that. I think Mac needs to have a bit of time on the bench. I don't think he's been performing. I think he's been pretty mediocre at best. I'm willing to give Bratson AC another go. Lolly, he wasn't great last weekend, but he always works his ass off. I can't deny his work rate, and he can have an impact. I don't know about a Wood-Fabio duo, so I'd like to maybe see Wood get the start this week. But I'm not saying heads need a role, but certainly some changes need to happen. And I feel like Uffy's the kind of bloke who's doesn't mind being the bad guy, being a bit ruthless and, making changes. He's not there to fuck spiders. So, this guy's been here for a long time, or, he's a fan favorite, or I don't want, because that's how I felt with Corica. I felt like he was like too nice and just, reward people being there for a while rather than who is actually playing well and who can actually, who deserves to be in the starting 11. So, Western United, Nick, anybody from them? How are they traveling this season?
So quite a certain Western Sydney Wanderers player. I think they've been bang average this season.
Yeah.
I think they've been outside of the Aloisi derby. I don't think they've really shown up to any of their matches this season, which is kind of this, I mean, on paper, they look pretty good. They've obviously got Pena, who's one of my favorite players to watch in the A-League. Other than that, they've looked pretty disappointing this season. And I do think while they have had, Aloisi has had success at that club in particular, I think his days might be numbered soon. And if he does keep up with his results at that club. So yeah. I'm not saying it'll be easy, but I think it's an opportunity for Sydney to get at least a result from this game.
Oh, absolutely. Look, they're sitting second last. We're on the same points as them. We're nose in front in terms of goal difference. So a Saturday night game at home against, you know, the second from the bottom team, if we don't fucking get 3 points, I'm not saying it needs to be a cricket score or a 3-0, but like 2-1, if we don't walk away with 3 points this Saturday night at home, school holidays, prior to Christmas, you know, then, you know, I'll be fucking pissed off this time next week. And, you know, I'll tear strips off them. So 3 points is a minimum, absolute minimum. So I'm going to call it. I'm going to say it won't be pretty from us, but I think we'll get the job done with 2-1.
I was going to say 2-1 as well. I just don't know from which end it's going to be, but
2-1. Goals.
I will say, yeah, let's make it 3-2-1 as well. I'll make it 2-1.
2-1. All right, we're all in consensus there. So that's it. With this weekend's games, we've got the women on Friday. Get down there, guys. So Michelle will be there. Super fan. You can get something signed. Bring a Sharpie.
Sign your shirts. I've done that before.
Yeah.
That's why I'm coming.
Yeah. Are you going to come, Nicholas? When did you know that we had a women's team? Is that recent? You just found that out?
Yeah, through Michelle.
Yeah.
the threats I've received. No,
I actually sent him death threats on Twitter.
Because he only
all my burners.
Yeah.
Because he only ends up.
Oh, are you that burner that calls me out? The Wanderers fan that calls me out on Twitter.
Yeah, that's me, definitely.
Oh, unbelievable.
I'm going to make a burner account just to send you death threats if you don't go to women's games. That'll be fun, actually. Fun activity.
Are you working on Friday?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Oh, because
in the morning, yeah. I am, but no, no.
Well, you're going to be in the neighborhood, so is that why you're going? Because you've got to be.
Yeah, I'll just wait for another 7 hours until the game starts.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Just spend your time at the pub.
Yeah, there's plenty of good cafes in Great North Road.
Brangos?
Check out the tunnel boring machine that just went through Five Dock. There you go.
Yeah, true.
Five Dock Metro. So get to the women's game on Friday night down there at Leichhardt, and then, you know, get a hotel somewhere, B&B, hang around. 24 hours later, you had to see the men's over at Allianz up against Western United. So plenty of football, and there'll be more football to sink your teeth into next week with the women's and, of course, men's game as we move into Christmas. So seeing as today is Wednesday and Christmas is Monday, on everyone's behalf, I'd like to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah, in Spanish. Nick, how do you say it in Italian?
Buon Natale.
There we go. And Merry Christmas in English. That's as good as I got for you. There you go. Colors of Benetton. Yeah, very, very diverse sky blue stories. But thank you for listening. Merry Christmas. Have a lovely time with your loved ones, with your friends and your family. We look forward to seeing you at the women's game and at the men's game over the weekend. I've been Sean. That has been Nick and Michelle. This has been another episode of Sky Blue Stories, and we'll chat to you next time.